And talking of experience, Let's Talk writer David Clayton has been involved with radio broadcasting for many years, and he recently met up with a radio devotee with a similar long-playing record. Here's David to talk about Alan Thompson.
Like many of us, Alan Thompson listened to pirate radio back in the 60s. It wasn't just the music, although goodness knows it was brilliant and memorable, it was the presenter's style. They were talking to you, not at you, is how Alan sums it up. Up until then, we'd all grown up with the more formal, scripted BBC way of doing things, with little spontaneity. The pirates rewrote the radio rules and whetted our appetites for something new and different. Then living in Ilford, Alan was working as a newspaper journalist, but took what he calls a road trip around America. I bought a bus pass for 40 quid and did 7,000 miles in 3 weeks on Greyhound coaches criss-crossing the USA. It was the start of the 70s, and while on the trip, he found his way into some radio stations for a look around. Fortunately, at one of them, WBZ, in Boston, he met the legendary American DJ Arnie Ginsberg. These were commercial stations, which is why Alan found himself voicing a radio advert for BOAC. Arnie liked my English accent and asked me if I'd do it. I didn't get paid, Alan laughs. He spent some time staying with people he knew in Boston, who introduced him to another radio station boss. He let me read some travel reports on air. Back at home, after his trip, the radio landscape in the UK was much less inviting. The BBC had opened a few local stations, but commercial stations had yet to be launched. If Alan had radio ambitions, they were thwarted. It was nigh on impossible to get any broadcasting work, he tells me. As the 70s rolled on, Alan's journalistic credentials finally got him a few shifts with the new London commercial station, LBC. Around this time, he had the idea to make a documentary about pre-war commercial radio, Searching the Ether, told the tale of Radio Normandy. It broadcast to England from France, which was the only legal way to breach the BBC monopoly. I interviewed Bob Danvers Walker and Roy Plumley, who'd cut their teeth on the station. Contacts are everything in journalism, and thanks to many newspaper people gravitating to local radio in the early days, Alan knew the man starting a new local commercial station, Wiltshire Radio. I ended up with the afternoon show Monday to Friday, Alan recalls. I made the show my own and we did lots of outside broadcasts. Alan became very much a household name in the area. By 1984, he'd moved to Radio 210 in Reading, where he established himself with a nostalgia show called Golden Days and another equally popular programme, Hail, Hail Rock and Roll. Alan was accumulating a lot of radio nous. His experience worked well when the BBC decided to launch a local station for Wiltshire. He surprised himself by getting the job as the new station's programme organiser. They said it was because I knew the patch and what the commercial radio opposition might do. What's more, Alan had a regular weekly peak time show, given he was already a well-known radio name in the area. Next, he went to Radio 2 as a producer in the arts and jazz department. I worked with Acca Bilk, Kenny Ball and presenter Angela Rippon. She was a joy to work with, Alan remembers. In the 90s, Alan was hither and thither working for different commercial stations on the management side as well as on air. Around the year 2000, he was running XL FM in Cambridge. We were popular with the servicemen and women at Lakenheath and Mildenhall, says Alan. That was never more important than when the terrorist attack on the New York World Trade Center happened. Alan was on air and immediately tapped into the American contacts he had in radio and was able to get first-hand accounts of the tragedy live on air. I remember the bases thanked us for the sensitive coverage. Having moved to Norfolk in 2000, Alan landed a job making documentaries and reading the evening regional news bulletins into Keith Skew's programme. Alan's dulcet tones will be heard on the BBC across the eastern counties every night. He moved back to newspapers in 2005, working for the Great Yarmouth Mercury, but kept his hand in with radio. He's now settled in Stowmarket, but not quite retired. As I was chatting to him, he was getting ready to give a talk to Gipping Ladies Club about his long career and knowledge of music from decades past. Last week, I was on BBC Five Live talking about the Everly Brothers, he tells me. With almost half a century working around the radio business, Alan knows why the medium still matters. It's interactive. You work from the audience outwards, disseminating information. You're helping people make decisions. A listener once told me she was listening while ill with flu and said she felt she could have reached out and touched me. Alan's highlighting that unique one-to-one feeling that good radio creates with its listeners. Having been a broadcaster for as long as Alan, I heartily agree. I'd say he's got it spot on.
So much for radio broadcasting.